You're with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock, Dumelang. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Clement Magnatella Show. Thank you for joining us and being with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. We start with the 702 open line on 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial this morning if you want to weigh in on what we're discussing on the 702 open line, but also if you want to raise anything on your mind this morning. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Did you see that the former boxing champion Dingaan Thobela has passed away at the age of 57? He was popularly known as the Rose of Soweto. What an incredible figure in South African sports. According to reports, he was discovered lifeless in his Johannesburg residence following a period of illness. May his soul rest in peace, and condolences to his family. On the 702 open line, we'll touch a little bit on some of the reasons that the Electoral Court has given for why they issued that order clearing the former president Jacob Zuma to go and represent the MK party in parliament. Those reasons came, was it 2 weeks or 3 weeks after the order was made? And I promise that we'll look at some of them this morning, because there's a listener who asked yesterday that we help them understand what the full reasons are. And then there's also a story on the Soweto newspaper. Bongani Bingwa on 702 Breakfast this morning touched on it, about the staff members who are working from a SASSA office in Piet Retief, who are now working from a community hall because their desks were sprinkled with muti and needles were inserted into their chairs. Now two senior officials have been suspended after being seen on CCTV in the company of a traditional healer performing all those rituals. So what I'll do on the 702 open line is bring in SASSA, because my concern here is that the services that are being impacted here, the staff members are refusing to go back to that office because they think that the office is bewitched, and they've got every right to think so, because someone was busy infringing clearly on their space by performing rituals on their desks. But now they're working from a community hall, and I wonder how that's impacting on people who need services from SASSA. So SASSA in Mpumalanga is going to join us also on the 702 open line.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
A message from Lerato, who says, Clement, thank you. Good morning to you and the 702 family. Condolences for the family. I'm feeling the loss, and it's quite an everyday battle. May God give them strength. And I was talking to you earlier about the passing away of Dingaan Thobela, who is a former boxing champion. Condolences to the family, his loved ones. Now, yesterday I said I will mention some of the reasons that the Electoral Court had given for why they issued that order that effectively cleared the former president Jacob Zuma to go to parliament. Effectively. So on the 10th of May, that matter is going to be heard in the Constitutional Court. And it's really going to be interesting hearing the reasons and the matter being argued and the justices asking the tough questions to the lawyers that will be representing the IEC. And of course, the lawyers that will be representing the former president, Jacob Zuma. So in a nutshell, the judges are actually rejecting all of the MK's arguments, all of them in court. But at the end, they somehow give reasons that Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution, remember that's a constitution that bars anyone who has been sentenced longer than 12 months from without an option of a fine, from heading to parliament. That section, they say, doesn't apply to Zuma because the sentence could not be appealed, which is interesting because it basically means that only sentences imposed by the High Court or upheld or reinstated or otherwise modified by the Supreme Court of Appeal or the Concord fall within the provision, but not sentences that are imposed by the Concord acting as the court of first and last instance. And it's going to be interesting to find out what the constitutional basis for this is. I've tried to find it, and I've not really seen it. So that's really the basis here. The main point is that they've dismissed the assertions by the MK party about the legitimacy of Jacob Zuma's criminal conviction and affirmed that the remission of his sentence to an effective 3 months cannot be interpreted as a reduction of his criminal liability. Remember, Advocate Dalimpofu argued that because Jacob Zuma was remitted, President Cyril Ramaphosa issued a remission, so that reduced his sentence from 15 months to 3 months. Because that's the case, then Jacob Zuma can be seen as having served 15 months imprisonment. But the ruling and the reasons from the electoral court judges are saying, no, it doesn't matter that the president has come in and intervened here through a remission. That's a separate process, right? So if the judiciary sentences you to 15 months, right, that's a sentence. That's a record. Whether you get a pardon, whether you get a remission, that's your business with the executive. Because the minute you want to argue that the president has remitted someone, then you're getting into problematic territory here where you're blurring the lines between the judiciary and the executive, because that effectively means President Cyril Ramaphosa, or any president for that matter, has the power to nullify the sentence that has been imposed by the judiciary, which then tinkers and blurs the lines between between the state, the executive, and the judiciary. So that's very important to note. But what's interesting is, while they are disagreeing with the aspects and the arguments that have been made by the lawyers, then they argue that because the former president could not appeal his sentence imposed by the highest court in the land, that sentence cannot be interpreted as that which is envisaged in Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution. So, in other words, because Zuma could not appeal a sentence, because remember, that's the constitutional court. Who do you appeal against? The least of the chances you have is to go for a rescission of the judgment. But other than that, it's not like you can leave the constitutional court and say, I'm going to go and appeal your judgment. That's the court of last instance. So what they're saying, effectively, is that the inability to appeal a sentence, because that was the case with the former president, effectively means that that sentence cannot be regarded as a sentence in terms of the Electoral Act. The problem with that, though, is that that would mean that only sentences that are imposed by the lower court are then regarded as final sentences after an appeal process has been completed. So if you are convicted and sentenced by the apex court, what does that mean when the IEC looks at Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution? Because you are not able to appeal such a sentence. I mean, that means the constitutional court's own powers to act as a court of first instance and last instance, as it was in the former president's case, is actually now undermined. And it's going to be interesting to hear from the former president's lawyers how they find the constitutional basis for that. Because there are people who are going to be sentenced at some point by the constitutional court. That may very well be the case. And then they also appear on the list to go to parliament. Are they then spared? And section 47, 1E of the constitution doesn't apply to them because, oh, these people never had an opportunity to appeal that sentence. So that's really the basis of what the electoral court judges have relied on when they issued that order. But the unavailability of an appeal does not change the nature of the sentence. It remains a sentence. Hence, I say, when you are sentenced, that's a record. Even in the constitutional court, whether you have an opportunity to, in this case, you don't have an opportunity to appeal because it's the constitutional court, but there's a reason why it's the constitutional court. It's the apex court. It's the final arbiter. And the fact that you do not have a chance to appeal, why must then change the nature of the sentence when Section 47.1E is being applied by the IEC? And for me, that's where the conviction, that's where the confusion for me is. If you understand it differently, please let me know. Or maybe you've looked at the judgment and you've got some thoughts on it. 011-883-0702. You can send us your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702. It's 22 minutes now after 9 o'clock.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
All right, it's 25 minutes after 9 o'clock, 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Zuma's 15-month sentence remains a sentence despite his inability to appeal. That's what the IEC lawyer is saying. I see now that News24 has actually written an article about court documents that have now been submitted by the IEC's lawyer to the Constitutional Court. And the argument that they're making is that, yes, the Constitutional Court doesn't give you that option to appeal because that's the court of last instance. But that doesn't mean that that is not regarded as a sentence because you don't have an opportunity to appeal a judgment of the Constitutional Court. Remember Section 47.1E of the Constitution says anyone who is convicted of an offense and sentenced to more than 12 months imprisonment without the option of a fine is disqualified from serving in the National Assembly. But more importantly, it goes on to say no one may be regarded as having been sentenced until an appeal against the conviction or sentence has been determined or until the time for an appeal has expired. And in this case, there was no appeal by the former president, Jacob Zuma, because it was the Constitutional Court. And it's on that basis that the judges in the Electoral Court say this cannot be regarded as a sentence when you are cross-referencing it with Section 47.1E of the Constitution. What are your thoughts?
Good day, Clement. Don't you think that we are in a constitutional crisis? Because the Electoral Court is trying to say that the Constitutional Court shouldn't have sent Jacob Zuma directly to prison. The Constitutional Court didn't have got such a mandate to send Jacob Zuma directly to prison. That's why we are confronted with this conundrum. Don't you think so? Thanks, David.
No, I don't think that they are questioning why the Constitutional Court sentenced the former president to prison. In fact, when you read the judgment, they get into, you know, they in the beginning explain what led to the former president being sentenced to prison. Remember, this is not someone who was sitting at home minding his business. This is someone who deliberately chose not to participate in the court processes in the Constitutional Court. In fact, when he was ordered to appear before the State Capture Commission, defied that order. When he was ordered to make submissions to the Constitutional Court, he defied that. And in fact, went around writing statements insulting justices in the Constitutional Court. He was given plenty of opportunities to come and defend himself, and he chose not to. So we need to be careful even when we are constantly told that, oh, he was sentenced without a trial. They gave him an opportunity multiple times to come and make his case and defend himself, and he chose not to. He chose to just write statements and attack the Constitutional Court. That's why Justice Kampempe was very clear in that we're not going to impose a fine here or a warning. We're saying go directly there to court, because we need to send a message out there that you will not disrespect the apex court like that. That's why it happened. So I don't think the electoral court judges are questioning that per se. I think they're looking at the law. If Section 47(1)(e) says nobody must go to parliament if they've been convicted of an offence and sentenced to more than 12 months, and how that section is interpreted then, because part of what that section says is that you are regarding a sentence once there have been appeal opportunities and until such a time that an appeal has expired. And maybe the problem, there's a defect with this additional line in Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution, because it doesn't make provision for the Constitutional Court. Right? It's 9:30.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
9:32. Tumisani in Germiston. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm all right, man. What are your thoughts?
So, maybe we should start asking the question, is, did Zondo have an option not to go to the Concord? And then the commission had laws that enforce anyone who's supposed to go to the commission to force him to come to the commission, like supporting him, or I know that
he was summoned.
Because I know that commission is not a court of law, but as a judge, who Judge Zondo, he had the powers to order or to ask the SAPS to collect Zuma, to send Zuma to jail for refusing to come to the commission.
He doesn't have the powers to do that.
When you are chairing
the commission of inquiry, you don't have the power to say to the police. And also Zondo doesn't even have that authority to say, police, go collect Zuma, take him to jail. That's not how it works.
Okay. And another option was that he had to take the matter to a lower court, is the higher court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Judge Zondo did confirm that. Do you remember when there was an interview of at the JSC for interview for a Chief Justice position?
Mm-hmm.
Judge Zondo confirmed that there is a pending application appeal by Jacob Zuma for Zondo refusing to rescue himself. So Zondo ignored that High Court appeal and then go straight to the Concord. And then let's look down at the Concord. Did the Concord had a chance or an option not to hear the matter of the commission? Yes, they had an option not to hear, because their duty, their mandate, that is the Concord Court, is to hear, is to recommend, and to refer the matter.
Mm-hmm.
But they can also hear cases.
This is not the first time that the Concord has been directly heard a case first.
I'm saying it can hear, it can recommend, it can refer.
So are you saying they should have referred the matter to the lower courts first?
Clement, you are saying that Jacob Zuma was given a chance to submit his his statement. But if you follow that case, Advocate Mabuza did submit the reason why Jacob Zuma should not appear in a court, but they ignored it. And
what was the reason?
And then the reason was that Jacob Zuma is waiting for the High Court. There's an appeal at the High Court, so he's waiting for the High Court. So he can't jump the process. So they're waiting for that process to finish, and then it's when they can go to court if ever the appeal at the High Court is not favorable to them. Yeah.
I'm trying. So sorry, Tumisani. I'm trying to understand the appeal in the High Court that you are talking about. I'm going to try check that, because that's not my understanding that Zuma had appealed. But I think I've given you enough time to state your points. Thank you so much. I hear you about maybe they should have referred the matter to the lower courts, and why did they not wait for appeal? I'm going to try to clarify that, because you've mentioned it several times, but I'm not sure I understand that. But I want to hear from other listeners quickly before we run out of time. Alex, what do you think? You're calling from Johannesburg.
Hi, Clement. I just wanted to say, I think if there's two important things we can take away from Justice Kompepa's judgment, mm-hmm. is that one, it was to decide the fate of the former president, and the second was to set a precedent that constitutional court judgments are final in their nature. And therefore, even a former president is not one who is above that. And then if we look at Section 47 of the Constitution, it talks merely about someone being sentenced to a sentence longer than 15 months. It's not whether that person served that sentence. So I think that's where the electoral court has erred. And I think that's the basis on which we're going straight to the Constitutional Court on an urgent basis.
Yeah, that constitutional clarity is so important. Alex, thank you. Let's hear from Edwin in Midrand. Edwin, what do you think?
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Hey, Tsara.
I'm fine, man. I think on this issue, Clement, I've got two issues to raise. One, if you look at the judgment, the way the Judge Mudiba has dealt with it, he comes through it very nicely, to the extent that somewhere, somehow, she mentions that a conviction or a sentence by the Constitutional Court is not appealable. Why? Because the Constitutional Court is a court of the final decision. You can't appeal a sentence made by the Constitutional Court. Very clear, we agree with her. Now, she goes down on the issue of the appeal. Now, as you said, the section speaks of an imprisonment for 12 months or more, and there is a proviso that says that all the appeals should have been exhausted. I'm just paraphrasing. That's not how it reads.
Yes, you've got it right, though. Yeah.
But now, yes, let's deal with it fine. Mm. One, if she says, and that's what she says in her judgment, that the section itself does not include the provision where the Constitutional Court will be the one making the judgment, in the sense that it won't be appealable. Therefore, Mr. Zuma or President Zuma is not affected by the section. Mm. And I disagree with that interpretation for one or two reasons. One, it does not have to be expressly provided in the Act that it says so. Mm. It's left to the interpretation. And the interpretation is simple. I mean, if the Constitutional Court is the court of the highest making decision body, no weight can come after the Concord. Therefore, it means if you have one been convicted of a crime and the judge agrees that that contempt of court application is a criminal offense. I know that Zuma tried to argue otherwise, but that argument has been...
They are not convinced.
It's a criminal offense.
Yeah, exactly.
Two, the sentence is for more than 12 months. Therefore, and because you know that this is the Concord, there can't be an appeal.
Mm.
You don't even have to go to the issue of appeal and say
it's
that
clear-cut.
It hasn't been the intention. It's clear cut. It is clear cut for me, Clement. It should just say Zuma is disqualified to stand as a candidate.
Mm.
But I'm happy because the Constitutional Court is going to give the final say on the 10th of May, and really, it will be a relief for us to know exactly what the section means.
Yeah, that's so interesting, Edwin, because as you say, you don't need to say the Constitutional Court can sentence you and you don't have a right to appeal, because it's the court of last instance. You don't.
Yes.
That's clear cut. It doesn't need to be expressly put in Section 47.1. Anybody knows that.
Put.
Yeah.
And we know that no law, Clement, is clear cut. You interpret it, taking into the account the intention of the legislature.
Mm.
And that's what the court should have said.
Yeah. Edwin, thank you so much for your thoughts. Just for clarity, remember I said, who was it? The listener I took just before I took this last call was talking about Zuma and an appeal. What I do remember is that after Zuma had failed to respond to the summonses that were issued against him, the State Capture Commission went to court to seek an order compelling him to respect the summons after all else failed. And after the order was granted, it was served on the former president. And the former president still didn't respect that order. So that's why the commission then decided we're going to approach the Constitutional Court and ask it to impose a term of imprisonment on the former president for contempt of court. Lunga, you're calling us from George in the Western Cape. Yes. What are your thoughts?
Yes, Clement, quickly. Look, the first caller was correct. Mm. I mean, we're in this problem today because of the Chief Justice at the Zondo Commission. What he did there, that case of Zuma on contempt, should have started at the lower court. Had that been done, we would not be here today. That is why the two esteemed judges, the retired Justice Chafta the minority judgment of the Perun.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
this is what we're warning against.
Mm.
You see, we would not have been here now. It doesn't matter. You know, we must not forget our constitution and why we have this constitution, the past, our history, where we come from, the people of this constitution.
Mm.
So section 39 of the constitution as to how to interpret rights, the importance of the Bill of Rights. Remember, this country had no right to vote for 400 years. So it could be Zuma now. We will all be happy, but it will be someone else that you love. So what ought to have happened? Justice Zondo, because there were many people actually who never appeared in the Zondo Commission still today, including executives of companies and companies that never appeared. He could have done his report that Mr. Zuma, having been called, didn't appear, and then NPA, do whatever you want to do, or else take that case. So I think the Justice Zondo was also ill-advised by his legal representatives.
By approaching the Constitutional Court directly.
Yes, and knowing that court is a court of final instance. Mm. And it was deliberate, because they knew that is a court of final instance. So whatever happened, he can't appear.
Time was running out. And I hear you, Lunga, because...
The issue is not a problem. The time is not a problem. He could have done his report even asked for an extension. Justice, it's about justice, not time. As I said, because of time, he could not interview this guy, Fraser, for instance. Fraser was not interviewed there. They still had a view of that thing.
But he was challenging things. Of time.
Because of time. There were other people as well who were not called to the commission because of time. So time is not a factor here.
So,
you see?
Yeah.
So that is,
Yeah, so Lunga, so you are saying you should have given Zuma a chance to go to the lower court so that he's got an opportunity to also appeal. If the lower courts, and then if it ends up in the Constitutional Court, then let that be the case. All right, Lunga in George, thank you so much for your thoughts. Lumka in Boksburg, what do you think?
Oh, Clement, the last speaker, you know, I just concur. Because remember, the Constitutional Court, you can only take matters there that deals with constitutional issues, right? It's not the court of first instance. So we have to, and it has been done in courts, that you separate issue. Each and every court is there to preside for a certain matter with its own merits. This was a different issue. It's a contempt of court, because what has then happened is that President Zuma has been, his rights to appeal has been taken away. And this is the right that is at the disposal of each and every South African. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So what had happened now, they've actually deprived him that right to appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Because if at all it's stipulated that a constitutional court is the court, that is it. You cannot, it's the last court you know, in terms of hierarchy. You know, you cannot take it further. So how was he supposed to take it further? Therefore, that is why you separate issues at all times. We don't do things emotionally. You don't address issues emotionally. He was supposed to take that matter, to take it to the lower courts, so that we in South Africa, we use the principle of stare decisis. It's a Latin word to say that the court hierarchies are considered. You understand? And they ought to be respected because it's actually the backbone of our constitution and our law in South Africa.
Yeah. Lumka in Boksburg, thank you for your thoughts. Thabiso in Polokwane, good morning.
Clement, they say that the horse has bolted. And I'm saying this on one a few reasons that I'll give. One is that, and I know I'm a regular listener of your show and I sometimes call. We remember very well that during this particular period, we had a very lengthy discussion around the issue of Jacob Zuma and his decision to decide to, leave the Commission of Inquiry. And if you remember quite very well, you would also remember that Jacob Zuma was at the core of the Commission of Inquiry, including many others that were supposed to apply there. Everyone was mentioning him in that particular regard. So what did he do? Jacob Zuma, being a litigious person like he is, he decided that, no, I'm going to dribble this one of the Commission of Inquiry, the one that he appointed himself. By the way, how did he appoint it? He appointed on the basis that the court had to enforce him to appoint to have the Commission of Inquiry. So now we had the Commission of Inquiry. He must go an account. As he said, he will go to an account to the Commission of Inquiry. He arrives there, he decides to leave. When he decides to leave, the Commission of Inquiry is worried that this man is at the core, is at the center of inquiry. And he knows very well that the Commission of Inquiry has been asking extension a quite number of times to say, no, can we get extension? Can we get extension and all of that? And what did that happen?
Yeah.
The very same individuals that says that, we should have had an exchange are the ones that were saying the Commission of Inquiry is wasting us money for continuous asking for extension. This issues must be laid to rest. Let's have a report and all of that So the Constitutional Court opted. This man has defied. Let's take this matter to the Constitutional Court to be able to interpret or the contempt of court. How do we deal with this matter of contempt of court of someone, by the way, who decides as and when he answers the question?
Couldn't the lower court deal with that, Thabiso? Why didn't Zondo just approach the lower court so that it deals with that? Because that's not a constitutional clarity-seeking matter.
Clement, it was very clear that once you take it to the lower court, then you must therefore increase the time, which the time was not even there available. The cases of the former president, all of us know, even now when he requested his day in court, including those other matters that he's dealing with.
It's a Stalingrad approach. I hear you, Thabiso. Let me take some more listeners. I think I've given you enough time. And yes, the court, when they accepted jurisdiction, it was on the basis that it was its order, remember the Constitutional Court, it was its order that the former president was defying. And it was also because of exceptional and urgent circumstances, if I remember correctly, when they decided to hear that matter directly. Tommy in Roodepoort, what do you think?
Hi, Clement. Yes, good morning. And I agree with this last point you also just make. Basically, my approach is that for a matter to go directly to the Constitutional Court, the bar is set very high. And many factors have been taken into account. I mean, things like the public interest. Remember, this was a matter of massive national interest. And then time was also of the essence. So what I'm saying is litigants should know that should a matter be deemed to be ripe for the Constitutional Court, whether it is at the first instance or after the Supreme Court of Appeal, litigants should then be aware that once it goes to the Constitutional Court, it will be treated as if it's gone through all the other processes, and these are the remaining set of facts and legalities that have to be argued. It will be treated as if appeals have been done, and these are the remaining sets of facts that are still and legal arguments that are still in dispute. And then once the Constitutional Court then pronounces, it is final. It is as if he has had all his appeals and he's had all his opportunities. I think that's the way litigants should generally treat it. It's unfortunate, like we are saying, the ex-president plays the Stalingrad, and in this case, it played him. You know, because he wanted to control the pace at which this thing is going to be heard, despite the public interest in this matter.
Yeah, and he was one of the critical witnesses. I mean, the State Capture Commission's report mentions the former president's friends a lot, and there are many people that implicated, several people that implicated the former president. Well, they talk about Themba Maseko, there are other, you know, other people who were working for the government that were talking to the relationship that he had with the Guptas and what he had expected those in government to do in assisting the Guptas. Let's go to some WhatsApp voice notes and then back to the calls.
Clement, good morning, Chabu speaking here. Look, the Constitutional Court must come out and spell out what exactly is required to be done so that we see who has not done his job properly. And the longer they take, people will lose faith in the justice system. So the sooner it's done, the better. Chabu, thanks.
Hi, Clement. Just on the case of the MK Party versus Concord that's coming up. I think the Concord might find differently than the Electoral Court. First of all, because they gave Jacob Zuma a chance to appear before them and give his evidence, which he did not. But also because the understanding of what it means to be the apex court, and the Constitutional Court as the final arbiter, that in itself implies a kind of no appeal after this process. So I think, I mean, in a good way, it will develop the law and provide guidance and clarity on this. I think it will fall somewhere within the way we understand what it means to be the final apex court and the fact that Zuma did not appear and give evidence, even though he was given opportunity to do so as well.
Morning, Clement. You see, this judgment that was handed down to Jacob Zuma, it was always going to be problematic. It was problematic from the beginning. When they voiced these things that, listen, they're not giving me a chance to appeal. I've not appeared in a court of law, this, then this, and even the judges said that no, this is a special circumstances and we're going to use special procedures, this. You see, that special procedures and all of that, that's causing the confusion now. That is causing the confusion now. Now Zuma's dribbling these people with what they did because they did not follow the right steps in my book, and it's showing now.
Clem, John here from Randburg. Despite all the problems, one thing I really love about our country is the strength of the judiciary. It's always an ongoing process to improve and to clarify things. The whole Jacob Zuma thing is very fascinating. Thanks.
Very, very fascinating indeed. One thing I've come to appreciate, I must say, about the former president is how, yes, Stalingrad approach and all, you can criticize him on that. And I mean, that has been quite awful. But one thing we've come to learn is, I mean, this man has really tested the limits of our constitution and law. There's so many legal issues that you and I have debated, that lawyers have debated, because it's just pushed the boundaries. And I think that helps us in understanding and just the constitutional precedence or constitutional clarity on various matters. There's someone who sent me a WhatsApp and said, the statement about the narrow jurisdiction of the Constitutional Court has not been true since 2013. Zuma's parliament actually amended the law to expand the jurisdiction to any matter that raises an arguable point of law, etc. So we can't say that its ambit is limited to constitutional questions. So matters may get to the Constitutional Court, even when that is not for constitutional clarity, but as long as they are raising an arguable point of law. That's the point that this person is making here on WhatsApp. Colin, you are in False Loras. What are your thoughts?
Hello, Clement.
Hey, Tada.
Three things I want to say. Firstly, Zuma, as you correctly said, was a central part in the commission's the collection of evidence and stuff. So he was the central part in all of that. He was the head of state. Everything rose and fell through him. Secondly, the case was taken to the Constitutional Court. I hear other people are saying no, other people also didn't come to the commission, but the court will have to argue the case that has been brought before them, right? It doesn't go out and take cases and say, okay, but this one doesn't know. It has to argue a case that has been brought before them. But I think lastly, what is important here is that Zuma himself, in terms of the appeal process, Zuma shown disdain to the court in that in whatever the court asked Zuma to do on a particular date, Zuma just threw a middle finger and said, no, I'm not going to submit this on this, you know. And Zuma expressed in the media that he aralsadi e jail. They can jail him for all he cares. He's not going to go there.
Yes, yes, indeed. Colin Fosloras, thank you. Tulani says to me here, in fact, this is Advocate DJ in Sentences. Clement, on this matter you're discussing, I'm an advocate at the Joburg Bar. There are a number of problems with the judgments. Number one, in the first instance, it took so long to hand it down. It's so disgraceful. Thank you for raising that. You know, I still do not understand, because I even invited the Gauteng judge president, Dustin Mlambo, on my show on SABC Face the Nation about 3 weeks or so ago to discuss why it's taking so long. And yes, I know there are capacity constraints, but there are certain matters that are so urgent that you just issuing an order is just not sufficient, especially understanding what the consequences are, which is why now the IEC was even compelled to go and start the appeal process with the Constitutional Court, even when they have not seen the reasons of that. So check out that interview and hear what the explanation of Dustin Mlambo, the Gauteng judge president, was, because he did explain what the capacity constraints are and said also judges don't need to rush the judgments, because then you end up making mistakes and the judgments are weak. But this message continues to say, it took so long to hand out the judgment, that is disgraceful. The matter was so urgent that the judges had to make an order almost immediately, but it was not so urgent that the reasons ought to have come almost immediately. It breeds conspiracy that the reasons were concocted. Number two, this is born out of the reasoning itself. It begs the belief, even the most radical of counsel find it perplexing. Number three, the consequence of the reasons, all judgments included in that, the Constitutional Court, the apex court, can never be a court of first instance, even if the Constitution provides for this. This is because its decisions cannot be appealed. It is all shocking. That's a message from Advocate DJ in Sentin.